Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11. This is the second in our series concerning Christ's call to discipleship. We started our service this morning by recognizing the authority, the deity, and the reign of Christ. Rejoice, the Lord is King. And then we heard, for the glory of the Lord, we have been created, and how His dominion is over us. And then we were introduced to beholding the Lamb. In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus is again calling disciples to Himself. Believers, those whom He has called to His side, He calls them in order that they might participate with Him in the great work of the kingdom. And it's only as we yield to Him, to His dominion, do we fully understand the purpose for which we have been saved. I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the key reasons why we do not really enjoy our Christian life is because we are content with a Savior, but not willing to follow the Savior who is the Lord. True victory, John says it in 1 John chapter 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And those who overcome have the witness within themselves. The witness of victory produces the sense of security, but a defeated life never leads to a sense of security. Jesus is calling His disciples not only to victory, but to security. Familiar words, and perhaps dangerous to preach from a familiar text, because people repeat it and then they go to sleep. I hope this is not the case. Come to me, says Christ. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Unfortunate King James translation, learn of me, as though he's simply a subject to be learned about. It is learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God bless His word to us. The rabbis used to see school as a yoke, and perhaps they're not alone. I know of many who see school as a yoke. And I always get somewhat intimidated by people who do that because I like school. Our word, school, comes from the Greek word from which we get the same word, leisure. And I thought of that. How many see school as leisure? A place where I go to rest. A place where I go to have fun. A place where I'm excited and I anticipate going to school that I can hardly wait. Well, if you have a teenager, you know that's false. School is not a nice place, yet this is precisely what Jesus Christ has called us to. Once we enter into the union with Him, He invites us to attend His school. And it is interesting, in the school of Christ, He is both the teacher as well as the subject. And He invites us to learn not only of Him, but from Him. And the unique thing about this teacher we call Jesus Christ is that He walks through the curriculum with us. He doesn't give it to us and say, now fight for yourself. I will come back to the classroom later on. And I will see you. No, He has actually invited us to share in the subject with Him. Consider with me from our text, please, the preparation for Christ's school. The preparation for Christ's school. Matthew 11 and 28. Come to me. Come to me. The Puritans and the Reformers call this the effectual calling of God. In other words, they're saying that this call, come to me, has within it the power to accomplish its intended end. When Christ says, come to me, and I will give you rest, the call of Christ can produce nothing other than what he said his call would produce. It is a call that is based upon the entire authority of the entire glory of God. If you look in earlier verses, verses 25 through 28, Jesus Christ converses with his Father, and he looks into heaven and he says of his Father, Father, you have hidden these things to the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to babe. And so it is, Father, for it is in your power to withhold information from whom you will withhold it, but you have given all things to me. And Jesus Christ came from heaven with the divine fiat to give eternal life to whoever will as they respond to the call. The illustration of this is seen in the 11th chapter of the book of John. Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and with the divine authority of heaven, he could say, Lazarus, come forth. That's an effective call. Because he wanted Lazarus to be raised from the dead, he called him to be raised. Someone, rather jokingly otherwise, said, Jesus could only say Lazarus because if he had said, be raised from the dead, all the believers would. And he only needed Lazarus at the time. The effective call, my friends, is a call that can accomplish the purpose for its calling. And Jesus calls men and women to him and he says, come to me. The preparation for entrance into the school of Jesus Christ begins with the experience of salvation. At the point of our entering into union with him, we are invited to enter into his school. It is a part of the package. Now, I have not had a great deal of experience in this, but isn't it interesting that when you get an extra insurance or warranty in your car, when something goes wrong, it is never covered by that insurance? It's amazing, isn't it? And they will say, did you not read the fine print? We bought a little car a year ago when the other one died on the road. Literally died in the road, taking Heather to school, and it said goodbye, and that was it. And so we got an extra warranty for the car. And we had some problems with the car. Not a whole lot, just some. But sure enough, it wasn't covered. I had to take care of it myself. Friends, when Jesus calls us, he puts to us not fine print, but in bold print, come to me, follow me. Enter into union, but enter into submission. This is his call. And we fail to experience the joy of our salvation because we are not willing to submit to him who is the Lord, who is also the Savior. The experience of salvation. Wesley had, I believe, some sense of this when he wrote his immortal And Can It Be? I think it's the third or fourth verse he wrote. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Listen now. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon fled with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth to follow thee. At salvation. I could not know this effective call. I could not know salvation except he made that effective call first. And any man and a woman who seeks God, my friend, seeks him because he has been sought by God. Thine eyes diffused the quickening ray. And then I awoke. Without that, I could not. The experience of salvation, a prerequisite to the entering of Christ's school. Secondly, the enjoyment of satisfaction. Come unto me, and here's the effective call. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now the Jews had burdened many, many of their contemporaries with loads too heavy, emotional loads, religious loads, that actually burdened them to the ground, as it were. It caused all kinds of emotional and physical problems to them. They couldn't bear it. Too many rules, too many regulations. That is why I resist any attempts to make any rules and regulations that controls this church. Because Christianity, my friends, is not a religion of rules and regulations. It is a life. It is a union with the living God. It is an entrance into a relationship not known before. And I like what one writer says, whenever the life goes out of the church, the rule book gets thicker. My friends, Jesus Christ has called us to a life of freedom. As Wesley said, I was free for the first time. But what is this experience of rest? He takes us from under the load that's been given to us. In order, my friends, that we might have body, spirit, mind, working in harmony. We are no longer people who are in conflict within. Our emotional capacity is not affected in the way where we are burdened down. In fact, my friends, it lifts our hearts and our heads to heaven in order that we might see and hear Him who has invited us into this wonderful relationship with Himself. Satisfaction. It is a life that does not leave you hanging. It is a life, my friends, that does not drag into it all the things that used to drag you down from the past. It is a life that sets a person free in order that the person might be able to enter the school of Christ and to hear what He has to say to those He effectually calls. I won't say no more about that because I want to get to my second point very quickly. This is where the heart of the message is. The program in Christ's school. The program in His school. Take my yoke upon you. As I thought of this, something hit me forcibly as it never has before. Isn't it interesting? And there might be someone, I hope I don't offend anyone at this point, because it is not said with that intention at all. But isn't it interesting that we take the cross and we put it in our ear. I don't. We take the cross and we put it around our necks. We take the cross and we do all kinds of wonderful things about it, and we're not told in any part of Scripture to take the cross to do anything, but we're told to take the yoke. How many people have you seen with a yoke? The symbol of a yoke. Not very many. Because the cross speaks of what He has done for us. The yoke speaks of what I am to Him. And it is a glorious thing to speak about what Christ has done for me. It's another thing, my friends, to talk about my submission to Him. So I want the cross, but not the yoke. Take my yoke. Notice, first of all, this yoke is a yoke that is shared. Take my yoke. I am not going to leave you alone. This yoke comes from heaven. It comes with me. I give it to you. I will bear it with you. We will walk together with the yoke. We will share together with the yoke. We will enjoy together with the yoke. You will not go through the valley of the shadows with the yoke unless I am with you. It is for all times. Come unto me all. It is for every Christian to respond to the invitation by Jesus Christ to take the yoke. Because we'll see in a minute, my friends, how significant the yoke is for the ongoing of the life of Christ on the face of the earth. I came across a beautiful little poem this past week talking about yoking up with Christ. I need not journey far, this dearest friend to see. Companionship is always mine. He makes His home in me. I envy not the 12, nearer to me is He. The life He once lived on earth, He lives again in me. Take take my yoke. The life he once lived on earth, even though he's in glory, glorified, he lives that life now in me by his Spirit. And as he gave the disciple the yoke when he walked on the face of the earth, he now comes to you and to me and he says, are you my child? Do you belong to me? I want you to take my yoke. I can't force it upon you. I can't threaten you if you don't take it. I offer you the yoke. That's why, my friends, Christianity is not pressure from without to die within. It is a death that has been accomplished in order that I might embrace it. Shared yoke. Now, please don't judge me by what I'm about to say. I happened to be sitting down for a few minutes last night watching Who is the Boss? And it's a very interesting thing. Tony and wife-to-be, Angela, were about to get married. And a wonderful aunt of Angela came in to try and break them up. And so she connived her way into positive statements that had ulterior motive behind them. And so they both got a lawyer in order that they might work out before they were married what will happen in the event of a breakup of the relationship. And these two people who were getting along so well before started to claim what was his and what was hers and what was his and what was hers. And before too long, they were separated. No, separated in the room. My friends, as I watched that, the thought came to me, that's precisely what the devil seeks to do with you and with me when it comes to understanding our call to salvation. That salvation is only the entrance into the school, it's not the curriculum. And the devil begins to get us to think, what will happen if? And what happened when? And like the man who went to Christ in Luke 9 and says, I will follow you if. If my commitment will have the returns I desire, I will follow you. But if it doesn't have the return I desire, there's no reason I'm going to commit myself to you. And here, my friends, we are called to take the yoke with absolutely, absolutely no bargaining power. No bargaining power. The yoke is offered to whoever will take it. And once we take it, my friends, we share it with him. Secondly, the yoke and its symbols. What are the symbolisms in the yoke? One of the most common figurative expressions of the time was that of the yoke of submission to an occupation or an obligation. The yoke is a symbol of submission. Now, I didn't live long on a farm, and I've never seen a yoke, really, myself. When I graduated from my first school, our symbol was a yoke. And I was trying to find it, and I haven't a clue where it is. But one thing I know, my friends, that a yoke speaks of someone who is placed within a confining situation. And when that animal is placed in that, he has no privilege to go where he wants to go. Submission is the first symbol we see in the yoke. The word submission comes from a Latin word, two Latin words, sub, to put under. And the next part of the word, my friends, means to place. So you put under, you place. You place a thing under something or under someone. And Jesus Christ comes with his yoke and he says, I want you to submit to me, to put yourself under me. Submission. It means, my friends, that as I become a believer, Jesus Christ begins to take his fullest place of lordship over my life. In John 13 and 13, he says, you call me Lord, and so am I. So am I. Let me ask this question, friends. Have you done business, as it were, with Christ concerning his lordship over your life as a Christian? Are you submitted to him? Have you placed yourself under his authority? He has saved you for that purpose. He has brought you into the kingdom that you might willingly say to him, my God and my Lord. Submission, the first symbol of the yoke. Obligation is the second symbol of the yoke. Obligation. To submit, my friends, is a passive thing. It is where I within myself, in response to him, say, here am I. I am yours. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. But obligation is active. Active. And to be obligated means this. It means, my friends, that I am called as a yoked servant of Christ with Christ. I am called to participate in what he participates in. I am called to go in the direction he is going in. I am called to be involved in the service he is involved in. I am called, my friends, to do the work he is involved in. Obligation means that I cannot swear allegiance to anything that will interfere with my submission to him. I remember several years ago reading a story of a little girl. And this little girl was accused of stealing something in school. And she was vehement. I did not do it. I did not do it. And the teacher said to her, why are you so sure that you didn't do it? Because I'm a Christian, that's why. Obligated. Obligated. It means, my friends, that as a Christian, obligated to Christ, I am confined as to what I do in my life, what I do with my life. A yoke puts you with him to be concerned with the things that God is concerned with. And very quickly, the significance of the yoke. The significance of the yoke. My yoke is easy. A very unfortunate translation of that word. The word in the Greek is charistos. Charistos. And it means this. My yoke is useful. It means this. My yoke is fitting. My yoke is adequate. In fact, the word charistos, really, literally, when it's translated in other parts of the scriptures, the word means to be kind. But kindness, my friends, God, after his kindness, sent Christ into the world. So the significance of the yoke is simply this, that apart from the yoke, we cannot display the glory of God in the world in which we have been called. Failure to take the yoke disqualifies you for the school of Christ. Disqualifies me for the school of Christ. If anyone is going to enter that school where he is both the teacher and the subject, they must first take the yoke. First school I went to was a very, very strict school. You've heard some of it before. Boys didn't talk to girls. They didn't go into the same door to go into the classroom. No dating. Don't ask me how I got my wife. I was already a graduate. And I remember as the assistant dean of men, dealing with students who did everything to change the rules and the regulations. And believe me, friends, I am not given to them. But this much I am given to. When Jesus Christ places us in a situation, he knew beforehand what the rules were when you entered. And if he allowed you to go, he's saying, take my yoke and I will walk with you through it. I will take you through the difficult times. We will walk together. And when you begin to cry under the yoke, I will be the first one to see your tears. And when you begin to groan, I will be the first one to hear your groans. But let me tell you, on the other side, because of being yoked with me, you will be able to say, not, I'm saying this now, like St. Paul, thanks be unto God who always leads us to triumph in Christ.